In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. Sing his praise without delays, who takes thee by the hand, that thou likewise with him mayest rise. Words of the 17th century priest and poet George Herbert welcome us today to the Queen of Feasts. Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. On behalf of all of us here at Westminster Abbey, I wish you a very happy Easter. There's much to be happy about. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But perhaps you're aware that this great celebration isn't the only moment of joy this week. You can see around the Abbey some of the preparations for the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. Television lights on high ledges and television cameras and screens already in position. And I'm sorry we can't use them today to give everyone here a better view of the choir and the high altar. Last Thursday they were used when the Queen, on her 85th birthday, in an ancient ceremony, distributed specially minted silver coins to 170 elderly men and women. All the recipients had contributed significantly as Christians to their communities over many years through acts of self-giving love and service. In honoring them, the Queen highlighted the truth that what matters above all is self-giving love. It's a truth she holds dear. It's not a truth, though, easy for us to receive. But it does lie at the heart of God's purpose in Christ. And it's what Easter is all about, the triumph of self-giving love. Our human instinct is to get and to grasp, to hold on to what is ours, to exercise influence, authority, and power. This is quite different from the way God shows us in Christ, the way of self-giving love. We see it already at the birth of his son. Jesus is born into poverty. Mary and Joseph are refugees. Once he begins his ministry, Jesus has nowhere to lay his head, no obvious means of sustenance. And his teaching fits his way of life. His most famous words in the Sermon on the Mount turn upside down the world's way of greed and power. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. His teaching has the power to shock. His death fits his teaching and his way of life too. The crowds who cheer Jesus on his entry to Jerusalem expect him to fulfill other prophecies about the Messiah, to retake control of Israel from the hated Roman occupier, and to establish self-rule for God's chosen people in the promised land. The way Jesus follows is quite different. The way of weakness, of humility, of self-denial, of self-giving love. His power is made perfect in weakness, St. Paul said of him. So the crowds turn against him. He turns out not to be what they wanted. Here is your king, says Pilate. They cry out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Supreme irony for the people of Israel. We have no king but Caesar, the hated Roman emperor. So they take him away and they crucify him. Only the beloved disciple stays with him at the cross, and Mary, his mother, Almost all his disciples have either betrayed him or denied him or deserted him and fled. It's the obvious human reaction. Jesus has, after all, failed. He's been despised and rejected. His great mission has fizzled out into disaster. So it seems to the temple authorities. So it seems to the Roman occupier. So it seems to his disciples. They're not there at the end. So they don't hear the hint of triumph in the Lord's voice, in his last word from the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai. It means, I've accomplished what I came to do. It means, the account is settled. I've paid in full. So the disciples, they're terrified. What should we do now? Run away and hide, in case the authorities come after us. Then what? When the tumult has died down, sneak back to Galilee and hope no one notices us. They still don't see. They still don't get it. What is it that changes their mind? What makes them get it? The body of Jesus is wrapped hastily in cloths and buried in a borrowed tomb hewn out of the rock. They seal a great stone over the entrance. The end. You know what happens next. We've just listened to St. John's account of that first Easter morning. The tomb is empty. The body is gone. Peter and the beloved disciple come and see. The risen Lord Jesus appears to Mary of Magdala. Later, he appears to the other disciples in different places and in different ways. This isn't resuscitation. The body of Jesus hasn't been revived. This is different. Sometimes they fail at first to recognize him. Mary Magdalene thinks him the gardener. He comes and goes mysteriously. But he's no ghost. They do know it's the Lord. They eat and drink with him. Thomas is able to put his fingers into the holes in his hands and his hand into his side. What changes them? It's nothing less than the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that changes the disciples. The empty tomb, the resurrection appearances, nothing less could change them. The hopeless, fearful, craven disciples who've run away in terror to protect their pathetic lives, lose their fear and get some guts. During the life of Jesus, nothing has changed them, even though they've been close to him. On their last journey to Jerusalem, two of them asked Jesus to give them positions of power in his earthly kingdom. So little do they get it. Now they do change. Once they've had time to absorb the truth that Jesus really is alive again, and once they learn that he will enable them to work with him, they go out to proclaim this amazing truth. Now, they seem to be careless of their health and safety, reckless with their lives. They put themselves at terrible risks. Most of them die appalling deaths for the sake of Jesus. Death can't defeat them. They have at last learned that self-giving love is the way. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead shows us too that the way of Jesus, the way of self-giving love, is the right way. It may seem to our human instinct to be a way of hopeless failure, but it's the true way. Self-giving love is the key, and it must be the key to our whole lives. An Easter wedding is lovely. Marriage is an act of self-giving love. The bride and groom give themselves to each other in love. Neither is diminished by the gift. Rather, giving themselves away, they receive not only the gift of the other, but of themselves with it. They receive themselves afresh, remade in the image of the one they love. This Easter morning, we can offer our lives to our risen Lord Jesus for love of him, and receive ourselves afresh, remade in his image, who gave his life that we might live. And this exchange is given effect in the act of Holy Communion as we receive his body and his precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Rise, heart, thy Lord is risen. Alleluia. Amen.